Jesus, Wavy. Jesus fucking Christ. What are we doing? Get up! Get up! She did what I said, slid off my lap awkward-like and staggered back a step. Standing there with the TV flickering on her face, she looked like she was worried about me. A string of cum dripped off her hand and she wiped it on the front of her skirt. I stood up trying to get my pants fastened, but I was all thumbs and my dick was still half hard. Goddamn belt opened up easy enough in her hands and I couldn't hardly get it to close.
I did it wrong, she said.
No, it's, oh God, Wavy.
You liked it with the girl at the party.
What? What party? What girl?
With the hand she'd wiped on her dress, Wavy drew a slithery line up her arm. She'd seen the girl with the snake tattoo giving me a hand job.
That was the last time somebody else had touched me. But you, Wavy, it's not okay for you to do that. I couldn't catch my breath and my voice wouldn't stop shaking.
Why? She said.
Because it's not... you... it's dirty for you to do that. She flinched, like I'd slapped her. Standing there, both of us not talking, I saw the thing I should have looked at first, the ring on her finger. It was my fault she didn't understand. When I told her she was too young to get married, I figured she knew I was talking about sex, but I bought her a wedding ring. I promised there wasn't going to be other girls, and there hadn't been. I didn't even look at other women anymore. Maybe I was the one who didn't understand. Wavy. As shitty as it was, I wasn't getting ready to apologize. I was so ashamed of myself I was going to say, "You can't tell anybody about this." Before I could, she clamped her hands over her mouth and said,
"Mama was right. I am dirty."
She was gone like a flash, leaving the kitchen door slapping in the frame. I stood in the middle of the room, shocked as hell, wondering where she learned all that. The kissing, the other stuff. Did Liam's girls talk about sex with her? No, that was my fault too. Except for the one skin mag I threw away, I hadn't done anything with the other magazines in my nightstand. How many times had she been there without me and looked at those pictures? Wherever she got those ideas, she was only 13. All those times I said, "I'm not that kind of guy." Maybe I was that kind of guy. What happened hadn't just happened. There was that whole half hour of us making out before she unzipped my pants. I'd had plenty of time to put a stop to it, and I didn't. Because I liked kissing her. I liked all of it, no matter how messed up that was. My pa was a crazy, mean drunk who beat the shit out of my ma and us kids. Alcohol did that. It didn't make you do what I'd just done. As much as I wanted to, I couldn't blame the booze. I don't think I'd ever been as sober as I was right then.
11. Kellen. I paced up and down until the TV played the national anthem and went to the test screen. Standing there in the quiet, I knew how bad I'd fucked up. Not just that fooling around with Wavy was illegal. Considering all the other laws I'd broken, I didn't care about that. But that up till then, I'd never betrayed anybody I loved. Wavy trusted me, and I took advantage of her. I got my gun out of the drawer next to the sink and pushed the clip in. When I was younger, I thought about it plenty of times. Just put the barrel in my mouth, pull the trigger, and paint the ceiling with my brains. I used to think about it when I was lonely and miserable, but now it seemed like something I deserved. Except Wavy had said, "I'm dirty," and I couldn't stand for her to think she did something wrong. I didn't want her going through life thinking she was so dirty I had to kill myself after she touched me. Whatever I deserved, she didn't deserve that. The temperature gauge at the kitchen window showed 42 degrees. I'd let her run out into the night wearing that skimpy dress with no coat, knowing she'd have to cross two highways and the meadow to get home. I put the gun away and washed my hands. Then I put her coat and sweater in the saddlebag and rode.
I scanned the shoulder ahead for her as I went, but I'd waited too long. At the farmhouse, the porch light was on, but the rest of the house was dark. I wasn't brave enough to call her name, so I stood in the kitchen and listened until I picked out two clear sounds, splashing water and a muffled hiccup. I tapped on the bathroom door, and there was a hiccup followed by silence. There was no latch on the door, and when I pushed it open, it thudded against something. Wavy's boots. The air burned when I sucked it into my lungs. Bleach. I got down on my knees and crawled to the tub, saying, "I'm sorry, Wavy. I'm sorry I let that happen. That was all my fault, and I'm sorry." I put my hand down and found her crumpled-up dress. I couldn't see a thing, so I reached for her, but she smacked my hand away. "No one touches me. I'm dirty. I'll make you dirty," she said.
"You're not dirty."
"Dirty whore."
"You're not dirty, and you're not a whore."
I couldn't take the scrubbing, the sound of her feeling dirty. Even knowing she wouldn't like it, I reached out to stop her. She screamed and tried to shove me away, but I caught hold of her hands and got the bar of soap and the washcloth away from her. Her arms were slippery, too hard to hold. She jerked one free and managed to punch me smack in the left eye, lit up the whole inside of my skull. I'd been in bar fights where I didn't get decked that hard. But once I had her tucked under my arm, she wasn't big enough to put up a real fight against me. The water running off her soaked through my jeans and made the floor slippery. She'd been washing in cold water and bleach. When I reached for the towel I knew was hanging behind the door, something sharp, Wavy's knee, caught me in the kidney, almost doubled me over, and I slid into the wall with a thump.
"You kids quit making so much noise!"
Val yelled from her bedroom. I waited for Val to open the door, turn on the light, and find me wrestling with her naked daughter. But Val didn't get up. She didn't even call again. It boiled my fucking blood.
"You stupid bitch, I could be in here raping her, and you can't even get your ass out of bed to come see what she's screaming about? What the fuck is wrong with you?"
No answer to that. While I was yelling at Val, Wavy finally stopped fighting me, and I got the towel around her as best I could. In the dark, I carried her up the stairs, expecting more darkness, but the moon lit up her whole room. Full moon. Did that explain what I'd done? After I got Wavy under the covers, I took the towel and dried her hair. She laid there shivering and let me. "You have to talk to me," I said. "We weren't going to solve this with charades."
"You're not dirty. Why would Val say that?"
"Liam not to be trusted."
She always said it that way, like it was his name.
"What about him?"
"Sitting on his lap."
"When?"
I knelt next to the bed with the covers pulled tight over Wavy, but she slipped a hand out of the sheets and touched my arm. Then she found my hand and squeezed it. I squeezed back. "Before I could read," she said. "And Mama said, 'Don't touch her. That's dirty. If you touch her, you'll go to hell. No one touches her.'"
"Did Liam do something to you?"
After what I'd done, I knew I didn't have no business feeling self-righteous, but this hot thing welled up in me. If Liam had messed with her, I was gonna kill him. Choke his fucking neck with my bare hands.
"What did he do to you?"
"Nothing."
"What was he doing when Val told him that?"
"Reading to me." I tried to picture Liam with Wavy on his lap, reading her a story. I couldn't manage it till I remembered even my pa did some nice things. Took me to a few ball games. If Jesse Joe Barfoot had a few days when he was a decent father, maybe Liam had some too. And Val was crazy as hell. The kind of person who could see her daughter on her husband's lap and think the worst thing. Might explain why Liam never went near Wavy. If your wife accused you of doing something nasty to your baby daughter, you might think twice before you ever touched her again.
"He didn't touch you?"
"Not." With her holding my hand like she still trusted me, My throat about closed up around what I wanted to ask.
Not in your private place?
No. She said he would, but he didn't. She said all men would.
Wavy, I'm sorry, I...
Now you'll go to hell and it's my fault, because I'm dirty.
If I go to hell, it won't be because of you. I was definitely going to hell, but that wasn't her fault. And you're not dirty.
You said...
I said it was dirty, not that you were dirty. You're a good girl. My knees were killing me, so I sat down cross-legged next to the bed, keeping her hand in mine.
Why is it dirty? You liked it, she said.
Because you're 13. There were a lot of other reasons I shouldn't have been fooling around with her, but that was the big one. You're not old enough.
I'm old enough to like it.
She pulled more of my arm under the edge of the sheet and pressed her cold, bare little tit into my hand. I jerked it away without even thinking. For a while, she laid there quiet. Then she snaked her arm out of the covers and dropped something that clattered next to my knee. I patted the floor and found her ring. I'd been so hell-fired against anybody turning it into something nasty, and then that's what I did.
Wavy, this is yours. I gave you this because I love you.
She turned over away from me and sighed real heavy. She'd used up all her words, maybe for months. I'd never heard her say so much. Holding that ring in my hand, I came up with three things I could do. One was really bad. One was too awful to even think about. That left me just the one option. The radiator rattled and it got me moving. I pitched the wet towel on top of it and sat down on the bed. I held the ring on the tip of my pinky to keep track of it while I pulled off my boots and jacket. I shoved Wavy toward the wall and lifted up just the quilt, keeping the sheet between us. She was wound tight when I put my arm around her, her spine stiff against my chest.
I love you, Wavy. I love you.
I said it until she relaxed. Now put your ring back on. She didn't move, but when I leaned up on my elbow and reached for her hand, she didn't pull away. As I tugged on her arm to turn her towards me, I let the sheet fall back so her tits were naked in the moonlight. They were beautiful, and she trusted me enough that she'd let me touch them. She stared at the stars on the ceiling while I put the ring on her finger.
It's not dirty, I said. I was stupid to say that. It's not dirty if you love me as much as I love you. And I love you all the way. But we gotta go slow. We went too fast tonight.
She wiggled the ring on her finger, and I worried she was gonna take it off again.
That night I first saw you, I was going too fast. There I was rubbernecking at you and dumped the bike. Wrecked me up. I don't want to wreck us up like that. I don't want you to get hurt.
She eased her hand up my arm to touch the scar. The ring was still on her finger and she looked at me. Looked me in the eye.
Real slow. Like a striptease going in reverse.
She pulled the sheet up to cover herself. And nodded. 12. Wavy.
March to June 1983. Callan was unhappy. I could smell it on him. I went with him when he got his hair cut and the barber said,
Hey, this ain't your daughter, is it, Junior?
No.
Callan swallowed hard and said,
This is my girlfriend.
I was happy to hear that I was his anything, but the ring was heavy on my finger and I wished he'd said, This is my fiancé. The barber looked at me while he cut Kellen's hair, the way Kellen looked at engines, to figure out what was wrong with them. To see what the barber saw, I looked at myself in the mirror behind the barber chairs. Too young. I tried to be more like Sandy, but I still looked like a little girl. Opening my jacket, I pushed my shoulders back against the chair and slid my hips forward. I crossed one leg over the other so that my foot dangled. Then I rested my forearms on the chair and let my hands hang from the wrists. Slowly, I leaned my head back and made my eyes soft. The look Mama used to make Liam come to her after they fought. The limp limbs that invited. The soft eyes that promised things. The barber would have come to me, if the invitation had been for him. But Kellen blushed and looked away. I didn't know what to do, because the things Mama and Sandy did when Liam was upset, I wasn't allowed to do those things to Kellen. Night after night, he sat next to me on the sofa watching TV, never on my bed or the recliner. He held my hand, but he didn't put his arm around me or touch my hair or kiss me. If he didn't want to touch me, I could accept that, but I wanted to touch him. That was never against the rules before, but it was now. All of December he didn't let me touch him, and then I spent winter break at Aunt Brenda's without him. Now January and February were gone, and I still wasn't allowed to touch him. Even though he wouldn't say it, I knew what he felt. I'd felt it enough to know. Dirty. Too dirty to touch. Too dirty to be touched. If he wouldn't touch me, that was bearable, but to have him look away from me wasn't. I needed him to see me. On the sofa that night after the haircut, he reached for my hand. I looked down at his jeans, the ones he wore for his birthday that got ruined by bleach. Bright white spots already going threadbare. Because of me. I pulled my hand away and said, "I'm too dirty to touch." He jumped like a bee had stung him and leaned forward to put his elbows on his knees.
"No, sweetheart. I told you. You're not. You're beautiful. I love you, but you're only 13, so we can't be fooling around."
He didn't look at me when he said, "You're beautiful," so he might as well have said, "You're invisible." "I'm sorry I made you dirty." Saying the words felt like swallowing burning cigarettes, but I had to say them.
"You didn't make me dirty. You couldn't, because you're not dirty, okay?"
"Then you're not dirty."
"Okay, I'm not," he said.
I slid my hand along his belly toward his buckle, but he shoved my hand onto my leg and pressed on it to make it stay.
"Don't, Wavy."
After that, my words were hot enough to burn my tongue, but I couldn't swallow them either. They stayed in my throat, so that I almost couldn't breathe. I stood up and went into the kitchen because I wasn't going to cry in front of him again. As quietly as I could, I pulled on my coat and slipped out the back door. Orion was in the sky, but the clouds hid him, so there was no sense cutting through the woods where it would be dark. I followed the safety rule, walk facing traffic, and made it as far as the second stoplight before the panhead rumbled up behind me. Kellen rode ahead and turned around to pull up facing me.
"Get on. I'll take you home if that's where you want to go," he said.
I ducked my head and kept walking. After I passed him, he turned the bike around and pulled up beside me, going the wrong way down the highway, his boots dragging in the dirt of the shoulder. His arms were bare, muscles tense as he braked and clutched. He came out in his t-shirt after me, so I was guilty twice. I made him unhappy and he was cold. But walking was the only thing that kept me from crying.
"Please, Wavy, you're breaking my heart and I don't know what to do."
He was unhappy when I was there. He was unhappy if I went away. And I was miserable. Now I understood what Mama's hot, scary eyes meant when she danced with Uncle Sean. They meant everything was broken. "I broke everything that made me happy," I tried to say, but I had to press my hands against my eyes to stop the flood. Kellen grabbed my wrist and put my cold fingers to his warm mouth. After he kissed the ring, the worst of the words slid down my throat. He lifted me up to the gas tank in front of him, and when I kissed his neck, he didn't stop me. After I kissed his neck, I kissed his cheek. After his cheek, his lips, and then he kissed me back. He loved me. If the mouth was a dirty place, and he wasn't afraid to kiss mine, I wasn't too dirty.
A car honked and Kellen said, "Get on the bike, sweetheart. It's cold out here and we're giving everybody a show."
After that, we only pretended to watch TV. Slow was a game. While Kellen ate the dinners I cooked for him, I ran my hands along his shoulders until he took off his shirt to have his back rubbed. Once I rubbed his back, I could touch his bare chest and his belly, almost to his belt buckle. Even more than I wanted food, I wanted his flesh. I wanted to touch the places where he was hard and the places where he was soft. He didn't like his soft places, but I wanted them the way I wanted mashed potatoes made with real butter. I had nothing on my body like the warm, damp crease between his tits and belly. Nothing like the muscles that bulged in his arms when he used the pulley in the shop ceiling to hoist engines out of cars. Kellen's slow game was different, like getting a wild rabbit to take a piece of carrot from my hand. If I tilted my head a certain way when he kissed my mouth, he might kiss my throat, too. If I reached my arms up around his neck, his hands would slide down to my waist, searching for skin to touch in the gap between my t-shirt and skirt. I had to invite him, like the stories where you have to invite the vampire in. Sandy said, "The right outfit will make or break a date." Kellen would never take off my dress, but he would help my t-shirt creep up and up. Sandy was right about that, too. The tight shirts made me look older. They made Kellen want to touch more than my hair, and he didn't mind how small my tits were. If I went slow enough, I was allowed to touch him almost everywhere. Almost. He said slow down so many times that even when he let me go faster, I went slow to tease him. A different game. To make him say, "Faster." One night in the meadow, we kissed until our lips were raw and my t-shirt was off and my panties were wet under my skirt from rubbing against his thigh. He would run his hand up my legs, but he was too nervous to touch me there. Finally, he let me unbuckle his belt and take him in my hand. I went slow, so slow until he was breathing hard, and his voice was deep in his throat when he said, "Wavy, you're driving me out of my mind." "You said slow," I whispered in his ear. Laughing, he squeezed my arm hard enough to hurt and said, "God damn, I know I said slow, but that's not what I meant. You're gonna kill me if you keep doing it that way." I didn't kill him, but I made him beg, sweaty and gasping. He didn't even beg for anything. He was just begging, with my name in between.
"Please, Wavy, please."
Until his hips lifted off the quilt, and he came. A strange word for it, like he was leaving somewhere else and arriving in the meadow with me. Summer played games, too. It changed time. Changed fast and slow. Secretly, I knew Kellen wanted to go fast. He said,
"No, don't. We can't, sweetheart."
Alone with me, he turned his back while I went swimming, unless I kept my t-shirt and panties on. When Donald came swimming under the full moon, though, I took off all my clothes to swim, and Kellen watched me. I came out of the tank naked and went to him, trailing water through the grass. When I put my arms around him and stamped my wet shape on his t-shirt, he didn't say,
"No, don't."
He said,
"Oh, Wavy,"
in his begging voice. He ran his hands down my slippery sides to my hips and kissed me until Donald said, "Ew, gross! No, suck face!" Summer had so many tricks. The nights lasted longer than the days, even though the angle of the Earth's axis meant that was impossible. The night couldn't be longer, but Summer made it seem that way. Summer sneaked time for me, taking a minute from February, 3 minutes from English class in March, 10 whole minutes from a boring Thursday in April. Summer stole time to give me another hour under the stars with Kellen. The only time Summer slowed down was for the 2 weeks at Aunt Brenda's house. Time stolen from me instead of for me. The night before Aunt Brenda picked us up was the 4th of July. Kellen bought fireworks, rockets for Donald and sparklers for Sandy and me. Then we took the bike around the lake and back to Kellen's house. He let me lie on top of him on the sofa and he kissed me for so long. Nothing more than that, even though his heart pounded under my hand.
"I better take you home so you'll be ready when your aunt comes in the morning," he said.
"Not yet.
Yeah, sweetheart. We'd better.
I pressed my leg between his, where Orion's belt kept him closed up in his jeans. I loved how kissing made me soft between my legs, but it made him hard in the same place. It was wonderful magic. Kellen groaned and said,
"You need to sleep. I need to sleep. I gotta go pick up that wrecked knucklehead tomorrow."
I went, but not before I left him a message. Once he had the bike started, I darted back into his bedroom, going down on my knees on the linoleum tiles, so much like a classroom. I dug into his nightstand and found the magazine. I'd looked at it so many times, it opened to the page I wanted. The pleasure I wanted. I laid it on his pillow and ran back out to the bike. Would he understand the message? Would he think it was dirty?
No.
He said,
"If you love me as much as I love you, it's not dirty."
I loved him all the way, and that meant nothing was dirty. He wasn't afraid of my germs. He wasn't scared of me sneaking inside him. Part 4 1. Amy. July 1983. Everything was different that summer. Before, whenever Mom wanted Wavy and Donald to come visit, she would call Aunt Val and Kellen would deliver them. That summer, it was Aunt Val who called and said, "Why don't Wavy and Donald come see you for a few weeks?" Mom insisted that she would pick them up, and I went with her. After we got off the highway, we drove along narrow gravel roads, following directions Val had given Mom. When we got there, Wavy and Donald were alone in an old farmhouse surrounded by hayfields. "Where's your mother?" Mom asked. Wavy shrugged. "We're supposed to tell you that she had to go to the doctor," Donald said.
"Well, she knows I'm picking you up today, right?"
Wavy pointed at the grocery bags by the kitchen door. "Their luggage." She seemed so annoyed that I wished I had stayed home. In the car, Wavy dug in her book bag and pulled out a package of magic markers. Choosing a bright turquoise one, she leaned across the seat toward me. Just below the hem of my shorts, she started drawing what would become an elaborate peacock over the course of the drive home. I knew my mother would screech about even a fake tattoo that covered my whole thigh, but I didn't stop Wavy. Her hair tickled where it brushed against me, and it smelled like gunpowder. That was what I loved about her. You never knew what she would do. The first thing she did was ruin Leslie's summer. Wavy didn't even arrive until after the 4th of July, but the ruining was retroactive. Leslie had a crush on a lifeguard at the city pool. Miss Goody Goody even broke the rules and drove by his house when we were supposed to go to the library. Then she ditched her one-piece swimsuit and bought a bikini so small she had to shave off most of her pubic hair. The lifeguard was a year older and more popular than Leslie, but by July, I started to think she had a chance with him. On his breaks, he let her climb up the chair ladder to bring him a can of pop. Then Wavy came, Wavy with her eyes that weren't any particular color except dark. Even after Mom told her to take it off, she wore eyeshadow that made them look smoky. She didn't like to swim with all the people, so she sat on a lawn chair wearing a cowboy hat, a wispy skirt, her motorcycle boots, and a tight white t-shirt with no bra. A year before, it would have been a costume for a weird little girl, but that summer, it seemed strangely sophisticated. Wavy relaxed in the chair and crossed her legs, swinging her foot back and forth. When Leslie's lifeguard went on break, he climbed down and bought two cans of pop. He walked over to where she was tanning in her skimpy bikini, looked past her at Wavy and said, "Who's your friend?" "She's my cousin," Leslie said.
"What's her name?"
"Why don't you ask her?"
Leslie should have said, "She's only 13. That might have worked to shut him down. What didn't work was him asking Wavy her name, because she just shook her head. A year before, it might have passed for shyness. That summer, it was an alluring mystery.
"Oh, come on. You won't even tell me your name."
Wavy looked through him.
"You want a Coke?"
He held out the can to her. She took it and rolled its cool, sweating surface over her arms and across the back of her neck. Then she set the can down next to her chair, done with his offering, done with him. He sat on the deck chair next to hers, and for the rest of his break, he sweet-talked her. In response, he got a big, fat nothing. All he managed to do was break Leslie's heart. He wasn't Wavy's only suitor, either. The way she strolled up and down, her skirt swishing around the tops of her boots, her narrow hips jutting out, it was like throwing chum into a pool of sharks. The old guys were the worst. Guys who had to have been 25 or 30. They were more persistent, too, offering her cigarettes and beers.
"She can talk, right?" Leslie's lifeguard asked me one day.
"If she wants."
"How do I make her want to talk to me?"
By then, I knew the answer. You need to be Jesse Jo Kellen. Besides being one of the few people she would talk to, Kellen was one thing Wavy would talk about. Leslie's friend Jana came over to our house with this book, Forever. She got it at summer camp, and she said, "Oh my God, you have to read it." We read it. Jana's sister Angela even read the dirtiest parts out loud to make us laugh. Angela was pretty, with gray eyes and a dimple in her chin. She had a boyfriend, but I don't think she'd done anything but hold his hand. As for me, I thought, I'm never doing that with a boy. Never. Wavy found the book worth 3 words. Not like that. "Oh, you think you know so much. I bet you've never even kissed a boy," Leslie said. Wavy gave us the smoldering look that had stolen Leslie's lifeguard and said, "A man." "What man?" Angela said. "Kellen." "You really kissed him? Like a real French kiss with your tongue?" Jana said. "More." "How much more?" Wavy flicked her finger against the Judy Blume book. "Oh, bull. You're lying," Leslie said. "I wish you guys could see him. He's huge." Wavy grabbed at her crotch like a guy and gave Leslie a nasty smile. "He's so disgusting. Seriously, he's fat and he has all these gross tattoos." Jana and Angela weren't listening to Leslie. They were staring at Wavy. "So you really touched him?" Jana said. "You touched his penis? What was it like?" "Hot. Hard. Desperate." Leslie scowled, but Jana, Angela, and I broke up laughing. The dirty-minded Wavy was fun, but I assumed most of it was an act to upset Leslie. Ken in a dress. "Do you really go all the way with him?" Angela said. Wavy nodded, but Leslie said, "No, she doesn't." I didn't know what to believe. I was older than Wavy, but something had happened to her in the last year. She seemed a lot more grown up than I felt. She seemed more like Aunt Val, and not just her clothes, but the way she held her head, the way she walked. "She's not even 14. She doesn't either go all the way," Leslie said. Wavy shrugged and flashed her ring at us. I thought it was costume jewelry. But that day, she let us look at it up close so we could see it was a real ring. Not some gumball prize that would turn your finger green. "You wouldn't. He's so grody," Leslie said. Anyone else might have been offended, but Wavy wasn't. She opened her backpack and took out a photo album. In the front were pictures of Aunt Val and Donald. After that were pictures of Kellen, playing cards with some men, holding Donald up to feed a giraffe, standing next to Wavy, her in a pretty green dress. The last one showed him astride a motorcycle on a sunny day with his shirt off, tattoos all over. He smiled, his gold tooth glinting. Jana was fascinated. She came back the next day, and instead of her younger sister, she brought a friend of hers, someone who was a lot more popular than Leslie. That was Leslie's consolation prize for losing the lifeguard. Jana and her friend grilled Wavy about everything, which was funny since she hardly said more than a word at a time. Sometimes she didn't even need a word, like when she used me to demonstrate some sexual position that seemed completely ridiculous when I was 15. I couldn't imagine two grown-ups doing that with straight faces, and when I started giggling, Wavy collapsed on top of me, laughing. They even got Donald involved, luring him upstairs with cookies. Jana said, "Is your sister really getting married?" "Kellen loves her. When we go swimming buck naked, he kisses her and lets her rub her boobies on him. It's gross. He says, 'Oh, Wavy.'" Donald tried to make his voice deep, and Wavy, who'd been drawing a dinosaur tattoo on his shoulder, flicked him on the back of the head. You go skinny dipping with him? Jana said. That raised Wavy even higher in Jana's eyes, but it reminded Leslie of her swimming pool tragedy. It left me with divided loyalties. I loved Wavy, but Leslie was my sister. I was sad and relieved when the 2 weeks were up. Maybe Leslie could get her lifeguard back if she still wanted him. Mom had planned the visit the way she wanted, but there was confusion about when Wavy was going back. Wavy was furious when she found out she wasn't going home until after her birthday. Grabbing the calendar off the kitchen wall, she threw it down on the table and started counting off the days to indicate 2 weeks. Wavy, we're going back on the 20th. Your mother and I agreed.
You agreed. Not me, Wavy said.
I thought you'd like to spend your birthday with us. Wavy tapped her finger over the 14 days again, and she had a scary look in her eyes. A look that said she would do what she wanted.
God damn it!
Dad yelled from the den where he was probably tired of listening to Wavy's mime show argument.
Why not take her back tomorrow?
Because I don't take orders from her.
Take her back tonight for all I care. Christ, I'm trying to work.
Wavy slammed her hand on the table to bring Mom's attention back to her.
Don't you act that way toward me, young lady.
For a minute, she and Mom glared at each other. Then Wavy walked over and picked up the phone. I'd never seen her use one before, but she started dialing.
Who are you calling? Mom said.
Kellen.
I don't think so. You're a guest here, and you'll go back when I say so.
Mom came around the table and disconnected the call. From the look on Wavy's face, I expected violence, but she won the argument with 4 words.
Guest? More like prisoner.
In the morning, Mom packed us all in the car, even Leslie, who whined about it.
Why do I have to go? She said.
We're all going to drive up and spend Wavy's birthday with your Aunt Val.
Won't that be nice? Happy birthday, Wavy.
Mom was so mad she looked like flames were going to shoot off her head.
Why doesn't Dad have to go? Leslie said.
Your father has to work. Do you have a job?
No. You spent all summer at the pool flirting with lifeguards, so shut up.
Wavy and Donald didn't seem fazed by Mom yelling, which made me wonder what they were used to, that he could go on happily playing with his cars in the front seat while Mom blew a gasket. The whipped cream on Mom's shit sundae was that Wavy tricked her. As we drove through Powell on our way to the farm, Wavy leaned forward and pointed for a turn.
That's not the way to the house, is it? Mom said.
Wavy pointed for the turn again. Mom took it and drove down the street until Wavy said,
Here.
Kutchin's small engine? What's that?
That's where Kellen works.
Donald started to open his door, but Wavy stopped him.
Now look, Mom said. I'm dropping both of you off at home. I'm not leaving you here.
Wavy slid her hand down my arm and was out of the car before Mom could drive off.
Wavy!
Mom shouted as the door slammed. She scowled as Wavy walked toward the garage, but what could she do? Run after Wavy and force her into the car? After a minute, she drove off. The cherry on Mom's shit sundae was that when we got to the farmhouse, nobody was there. The back door was unlocked and dirty dishes were piled in the sink. Beer bottles and a full ashtray sat on the coffee table in the living room, next to a bunch of burned pieces of tin foil.
It's okay, Donald said when he saw the look on Mom's face. You can take me down to the ranch. That's where I sleep anyway.
You don't sleep up here?
Donald gave Wavy's it-is-what-it-is shrug. The ranch looked like an armed compound you might see on the news, white supremacists or a religious cult. Past the gate stood 2 metal garages, and off in the trees, a big metal barn. Clustered up by the road were 4 trailers, one with a deck on the front. Sitting on the deck, smoking, was a life-sized Barbie doll. Donald jumped out of the car and ran to hug her. Then he took off toward the garages. The Barbie doll came down the porch, cigarette in her hand, and said,
Hey, are you Donald's auntie and his cousins? I'm Sandy.
We waited for an explanation of who Sandy was, but she didn't offer one.
Do you want to come in for a drink or something?
Do you know where Valerie is? Mom said. Sandy was the prettiest, sad woman I'd ever seen, and for a second she frowned, more sad than pretty.
No, but she'll be back later if you want to wait.
It's okay to leave Donald here with you?
Sure, hon. I'll get him a snack here in a while. Did Wavy come back with you?
Mom didn't answer, so I said, she's at Kellen's. Sandy was pretty again, smiling.
Oh, he'll be glad to see her. They're so sweet to each other. Yesterday he took a big cooler full of ice and drove over to Geringer. They have a Baskin-Robbins there, and he bought her a scoop of every flavor of ice cream they have. You know, for her birthday. Isn't that the sweetest thing? Sure you don't want to stop for a drink? Donald could show you his little motorbike. He's so cute on it.
No, Mom said. She didn't even wait to say goodbye to Donald. An hour into the drive home, Mom turned down the radio we'd turned up to avoid talking and said, how do you think Wavy seemed? My sister glared, like the girl who stole her lifeguard. That's how she seemed to Leslie. Happy, I said.
She didn't seem hostile to you?
Only because you wanted her to stay for her birthday. Oh, good grief. Would it be so terrible to spend her birthday with us?
She wanted to spend her birthday with Kellen. He bought her a lot of ice cream.
I laughed at the thought of her eating 31 scoops of ice cream, but nobody else did.
I thought she'd outgrow having a crush on him, some big dumb motorcycle hooligan, and that filthy tattoo on his arm. I mean, do you girls think he's cute?
Gag me with a spoon, Leslie said. I did a wavy shrug, because I didn't even think Leslie's lifeguard was cute. I hadn't yet seen a boy I thought was worth having a crush on.
Well, she's always been different, Mom said.
I bet she's pregnant by the end of the school year, Leslie said.
What's that supposed to mean?
I wanted to say, it means Leslie is a bitch, but I kept my mouth shut.
You know she's having sex with Kellen, Leslie said.
I most certainly do not know that.
Mom tapped the brakes and looked at Leslie, who stared straight ahead. Well, she is having sex with him. Now you know.
You don't know that, I said.
I still thought it was one of Wavy's weird games.
She said she went all the way with him, Leslie said.
Yeah, but...
Mom braked hard and pulled over to the shoulder.
What do you mean she said she went all the way with him?
Leslie sighed like she was bored. We asked her about her wedding ring, and Jana said, did you go all the way with him? And Wavy said, yes.
What wedding ring?
Mom's hands shook as she put the car in park.
That ring she was wearing with the diamond, Leslie smirked.
Oh, my God.
Mom said it about 10 times, and then she said,
I can't believe you two have been keeping this a secret. Shame on you. Shame on you both. Tell me everything. Right now.
We told her everything. No, not everything. Neither of us was brave enough to say, hot, hard, desperate. Mom put the car in drive and turned around. We were going back. I felt like a traitor, and I was glad the lifeguard had ditched Leslie. She deserved to lose her boyfriend for ratting Wavy out like that. On the drive, Mom talked to herself, saying,
oh, God, Val, how could you let this happen? You let this guy come around and you didn't ever think there was something funny going on.
It didn't seem right to me, the way he touched her. I didn't say it to my mother, but that was what struck me. Wavy let Kellen touch her. Mom didn't go back to the garage. Either she didn't remember how to get there or she wasn't ready to confront Wavy. At the farmhouse, there was a car in the driveway.
Thank God she's home, Mom said.
She parked and opened her door, but Leslie and I stayed put.
Come on, you two. You're involved in this.
Mom!
Leslie's desire for revenge had gone to cold fear. Mom was going to make us tell Aunt Val everything. I trudged up the stairs behind Leslie and Mom, my stomach in knots. The door stood open a couple inches. Mom knocked on the frame and called,
Val? Val, it's Brenda.
Nobody answered. So Mom pushed the door all the way open. Beyond a certain amount of blood, your brain freezes up. Like there's a limit to how much blood it can understand. There was more than that in the kitchen. Past Mom's shoulder, I saw a body lying in the doorway to the hall. A man in jeans and cowboy boots lay face down in a puddle of blood. More blood was splattered on the wall and bathroom door. Leslie bent over and vomited on her own shoes. That's when I saw the woman crumpled on her side on the kitchen floor, with a chair toppled next to her. I knew Aunt Val from her long brown hair, soaked in blood. I don't know what other people would have done in that situation,
But my mother walked around the table, picked up the phone, and dialed 911. While she was waiting to be connected, she said, "Get your sister a cold, wet washcloth." That was Mom's solution when someone vomited. I was supposed to step over my aunt's body, go into the bathroom, stepping over another dead body on the way, and get Leslie a cold, wet washcloth. It wasn't going to happen. Mom, she was on autopilot, trying to follow some inner guidelines for what to do in a crisis. "Yes, my name is Brenda Newling, and I need to report an emergency. My sister's been... I think she's been shot." Mom started off all business, but by the end her voice was shaky. While the 911 operator talked, Mom picked up a dish towel and turned on the kitchen faucet. "It's off County Road 7, near Powell. I don't know. I don't know the name of the road." All we had were a series of landmarks and turns, written on the back of an envelope. Maybe the road didn't even have a name. Mom frowned, her lip trembling as she wrung out the towel. She held it out to me, but I was paralyzed. "God, I don't know. It's Valerie and Liam Quinn's house. You turn off the highway after the tractor dealership and take the left. There's a silo there with a tree growing in it. I think it's 4 miles and... coming from Powell." "What do you mean, is it Belton side or Powell side? I don't know what county it's in. Amy, please." She was waiting for me to take the towel. I made myself move, following the same route she had taken, around the table on the opposite side of Aunt Val. The towel felt good in my hand. Fresh. Cool. Not hot and sticky like the blood that was attracting flies. A few drops of water dripped off the towel, and Mom and I watched them fall to the floor. That's why we saw it at the same time. A footprint in blood. A small one, and then another. A trail of them going toward the back door. "Oh, God, Donald." Mom laid the phone on the counter and followed the footprints out the door. In the dirt at the foot of the porch steps, there were no more prints. The blood had dried or soaked into the ground. Mom looked toward the road, the barn, the meadow. "Wavy," I said, because at that moment, I realized her mother was dead. "Get in the car," Mom said. Leslie and I stared at her. "Now! We have to tell someone who can help. Someone who can tell the police where this is." Mom drove down to the ranch without making us put on our seatbelts. As we pulled up in front of the trailer, Sandy came down the steps. Her tanned legs seemed a mile long below her white shorts. She smiled at us. Beautiful. Something to look at that wasn't blood.
"Hey, girls."
"Where's Donald?"
Mom opened the car door and got out.
"Oh, he went up the hill to see Val. She's up there now if you want to see her."
2. Butch. I don't know why, but Liam had a taste for crazy women and dumb women. My ex-wife wasn't a beauty queen, but at least she had half a brain in her head. Not Sandy. She came into the lab at full tilt, running in high heels with her tits bouncing, never even looked to see if it was safe.
"It's Val. There's a problem,"
she said. That wasn't news. All Val did was cause problems. "You're going to have to take care of it, Sandy. We're busy down here. Where's Liam?"
"He took the bike out. It's serious, Butch. You have to come."
I left Vic and Scott to cook and followed Sandy out. When I got to Sandy's trailer, there was a woman on the porch, an older, straight-laced version of Val with housewife hair and a pink sundress showing off her chubby arms. Val's sister Brenda. She looked shaky, and the two girls sitting in the car looked freaked out. I figured it was some bullshit problem, because people like Brenda get upset easy. Maybe they'd gone up to the house and caught Val and Liam in one of their fighting and fucking moods. Maybe Val was high. Maybe Liam had given her a taste of the back of his hand. If she'd been my wife, I would have done it more often.
"Hey, Brenda. We met once before. I'm Butch."
I held out my hand, but Brenda just stared at it.
"Val and Liam are dead. I think they've been murdered."
I pulled back my hand. I was that shocked. Sandy started screaming.
"Liam! You didn't say Liam! You didn't say... Oh my God, Liam!"
"Shut up, Sandy. Calm down and let me think." I wasn't some wet-behind-the-ears idiot, and the first thing I thought about was the lab. "What happened?" I said.
"I don't know. I think they've been shot, and Donald's missing.
I didn't know the address to tell 911.
I could see if I didn't play things right. I was going to have a bunch of ruined product and the cops sniffing around. What I needed was help. Kellen could say he didn't have the stomach for dirty work, but you could have fooled me. We once went to take care of some former business associates of Liam's who backstabbed him. Kellen wouldn't pull the trigger, but he didn't blink when I did. That's what the situation called for. Somebody who wouldn't blink. I left Brenda and Sandy on the porch and went into the trailer. I called the shop and let it ring a dozen times. Nobody answered at Kellen's house either. And when I tried the shop again, I got a busy signal. Brenda came in and said, "Did you give them the address?" She thought I'd called the cops. "Yeah, they're on their way. Look, we're going to take care of this, okay? Your girls are pretty upset, I bet." She nodded and the first tear snuck out. "I know, Brenda, I'm sorry. This has got to be so hard for you. Here's what we're going to do. Sandy, get in here." Looking like a raccoon with her makeup running all over the place, Sandy hiccuped and said,
"But he didn't even..."
"Sandy, you have to pull yourself together. We've got things to do. I'm going to take Val's sister and her girls into town. You go down to the barn and tell Scott to wrap things up down there. Do you understand? And tell Lance to go up to the farmhouse, to meet the cops."
"What about Donald?"
Brenda said. "Don't worry, I haven't forgotten about him. Sandy, you and Dee go up in the meadow. When you find him, bring him into town to Kellen's."
"I should go with them," Brenda said.
"No, I don't want you getting lost up there and you've got your girls to take care of. So you come into town with me. Last thing I needed was her wandering around out there while I tried to get the lab cleaned up. Wherever Donald was, he knew how to get home." "Why don't I drive you over in your car, Brenda? Is that okay?" I said. That way, I was in charge, and it left the guys any vehicles they needed to haul stuff away. My plan was to go by the garage and get a key to Kellen's house. They'd be out of the way there, because I knew Kellen didn't keep any product at his house. After we got Brenda and the girls settled, Kellen could come up to the ranch and help me figure out what to do. We'd have to call the cops, but not until we cleaned up and had a story in place.
3. Amy. Kellen's garage was the same as any other rundown mechanic shop you see in little towns. 2 garage bays, both doors standing open. Lawnmowers and motorcycles in various states of disassembly. On the back wall were a window and a door. Parked there was what I knew had to be Kellen's motorcycle. The fenders were chromed and all of it was covered in stars.
"I bet he's in the office," Butch said, but when he pushed the door open, he said, "What the fuck?"
Through the open door, I saw what everyone else saw, I suppose. Wavy on the desk, leaning back on her hands, completely naked, resting her bare feet on Kellen's legs. He was in the desk chair, his shirt off, his pants open. I didn't notice any blood, although later that was all anyone talked about, the blood on his desk blotter. Small amounts of blood are almost invisible when you have a puddle of blood burned on your retinas like a sunspot. I saw what everyone else saw, except that at the moment the door swung open, I saw Wavy smiling before her eyes went wide. Kellen stood up, and as he fastened his fly, Butch lunged at him and swung. Butch punched him in the face, and all Kellen did was say, "Goddamn, Butch, let her get dressed before you come in here and try to kick my ass." He didn't look like he'd been punched until he saw Mom, Leslie, and me.
"You son of a bitch," Mom said. "How long have you been doing this? How long?"
"Okay, ma'am, I know how it looks."
Kellen put his hands up like he was surrendering, or preparing for Mom to fall on him like a hungry lioness.
"But I love her. We're gonna get married."
Kellen picked up a piece of paper from his desk and held it out to her. She took it and glared down at it, her face getting redder.
"Val and Liam know, okay? I bought her a ring and Liam signed the paperwork. He signed it today and the judge says..."
"Liam can't give you permission to marry her anymore."
Mom twisted and tore at the paper until it was just a pile of scraps at her feet. Then I understood the dead man in the hallway of the farmhouse was Uncle Liam. While all this was going on, Wavy got dressed, pulling up her panties and tugging on her t-shirt and skirt. As she stomped into her boots, Mom stepped around Butch and reached for the phone that was lying off the hook on the filing cabinet.
As she did, she looked down at the desk blotter and said,
"You're going to burn for this, you fucking bastard."
I'd never heard her use the F-word before. Mom put the receiver to her ear and for the second time that day dialed 911. When the operator answered, she said, "I want to report a rape."
"Wait, Mrs. Newling, just wait."
Butch, not Kellen, said that. "What's the address here?" Mom said. Sitting back in the desk chair with a hand to his head, Kellen gave my mother the address and she repeated it to the operator. "My name is Brenda Newling. It's my niece. Yes, yes, I did make that earlier call. I had to leave there. No, this is not a prank. I was there and they were..." Mom's voice got louder and louder until she was silent for a moment. "They're there? You have someone at the house?" Until then, Butch had been shaking his head, but he came around the desk and jerked the phone away.
"You dumb cunt. You called the cops out to the house? You called the cops?" he said.
"Valerie and Liam are dead. Somebody shot them. Yes, I called the police."
"Fuck. Fuck."
Butch tossed the phone on the desk and ran out through the garage. A moment later, we heard the car start and drive away. He'd left us there.
"Oh, sweetheart. I'm sorry,"
Kellen said. Mom looked at Wavy and realized what she'd done. Blurted it out with no warning. "I'm calling the cops on your fiancé. And by the way, your parents are dead." Wavy started trembling. Kellen put his hands on her hips and walked her back until she was sitting on his lap. Wrapping one arm around her shoulders, he tucked her head under his chin. He kissed her hair and said,
"I'm here, Wavy. I'm here."
It seemed like that would be the end of it. Mom would stop yelling and saying awful things, and Kellen would take care of Wavy. He obviously knew how. They were still sitting like that 5 minutes later when a police car pulled up. Mom went outside, and when she came back, two sheriff's deputies were with her.
"Why don't you girls step outside?"
the younger deputy said, while the older one went into the office.
"Come on, Junior," he said. "You're gonna have to come with us." "Give us a couple minutes, okay?"
Kellen said.
"No, you need to let go of her and stand up." "Jesus, Delbert, she just found out her mother's dead. Give us 2 goddamn minutes.
The deputy stepped back and we waited. Kellen set Wavy up on the edge of the desk and for a while they hugged each other. She whispered in his ear and then she kissed him. That didn't help the situation with the deputies, because it was a movie kiss, like when the hero and heroine are saying goodbye, and maybe they're never going to see each other again. The older deputy said,
"That's enough of that. You need to step back and put your hands on your head, Junior."
Before he did it, Kellen reached into his pockets and tossed a handful of things on the desk. Keys, bolts, a pocket knife, and loose coins that rattled across the desk and tumbled to the floor. He unhooked his wallet and tossed it on the desk, too. I could tell he'd done it before, from the way he turned around and laced his hands on the back of his head. The deputy cuffed him while Wavy sat on the desk watching. The deputy turned to Mom and said,
"Normally we'd get another patrol car to take her to the hospital, but things are a little crazy today. We've got a real situation up at the Quinn place."
"I know. This is their daughter. Have they found her brother yet?"
"Holy crap, ma'am. That's the Quinn girl?"
The deputy blinked.
"I don't know. I didn't know he was missing."
"I told 911.
"Well, a whole lot's happened since then, so I'd better radio the sheriff and let him know."
"Dilbert!" the younger deputy shouted from the far garage bay.
"There's blood over here. A lot of it."
"Ma'am, I need you to get these girls out of here. If you could take them out to the drive so I can secure this place."
Mom gathered Leslie and I around her, but when she tried to bring Wavy into our huddle, Wavy refused. She put her arms around Kellen where he stood next to the desk. Mom grabbed the back of Wavy's t-shirt and tried to pull her away.
"Miss Quinn, you need to step outside," the deputy said.
Wavy didn't move.
"Wavy, it's okay."
Kellen couldn't put his arms around her, but he leaned down and kissed her.
"Go outside with your aunt. I love you. It's gonna be okay, sweetheart."
She looked up at him and shook her head, but she let Mom lead her away. Even though Wavy wasn't fighting anymore, Mom kept her shirt clutched in one fist as we walked out through the garage. As we passed the other deputy, we saw what he was looking at. There were a dozen quarter-sized drops of blood on the floor and on a nearby workbench, a puddle as big as a dinner plate. An hour before,